Happy Earth Month, everybody. Now, I know every year we write down our different goals that we want to accomplish for yourself, people around you, manifest it. And maybe one of our goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. You value companies that are thoughtful in every aspect of how they run their business. Good news, Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Fresh air, frisbees, picnics, super cute dogs on leashes. I mean, that's my dream. Soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. Check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Again, donate in-store or online and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the Lady Gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The Lady Gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Lady Gang. I'm Becca Tobin here with Jack Vanek and Kelty Knight.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Wow. How's it going?
Wow. I'm starving, guys. I hope I don't get hangry.
I just ate a chicken quesadilla. It was delicious.
Oh,
sorry.
So good. From where?
So good.
Don Cuco's. It's this restaurant, very authentic Mexican restaurant in the valley. Oh, it's so good. So good.
I'm starving.
Well, let's jump into it. It's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go. Okay, so my bad week. I haven't started with a bad week probably ever. So my bad week is...
Way to be a downer, Jack.
But they're connected and it's going to end up like tying into my good week. So my bad week is I got a few ear piercings right before quarantine happened, like 3 days before everything went on lockdown. And it was really the only thing kind of like getting me through. I'm like, at the end of this, I'm going to have a cool ear, you know? So a couple...
Low standards.
A couple. That's all I had really like getting me through coronavirus.
Wow. Okay.
So during, you know, the next few months, like you're supposed to care for the ears. I'm caring for my ear. And then I wake up one day and I have a gigantic blood blister on one of my piercings and it's infected and it's oozing pus and it's the nastiest thing I've ever seen. So long story short, I had to take out one of my earrings and it really sent me into the hell zone that day and it like ruined my life. So that's my bad week. My good week is I didn't want my other piercings to have the same fate. So I was really starting to research. I think it's because I was sleeping on it because I have to sleep on that side and it was irritating my ear. So in my research, I found the whole pillow.
What?
Wow.
It's a pillow.
She's showing it to us.
With
and
a whole,
I can see her face in the middle of it.
And you just sleep on the pillow like a normal pillow, but you just put your little ear right in the hole.
And how is your healing?
And then it doesn't touch anything. It's amazing. And I can sleep on both sides of my face and it's wonderful. But the thing is, I got it and I went to go show Jared. I was like, Jared, look what I got. And he got like really excited for a moment thinking it's like some sexual
like a glory
thing.
Hole?
Yeah.
Ew.
He's like, oh, aw.
You know, I had a similar thing. It's not a blood blister. It's called something else. Did you look it up?
A keloid?
A keloid.
No, mine wasn't a keloid. Mine was like a pussy, crusty, like rejection situation going on. I had like digital doctor thing.
Well, I have a great transition into my bad week because it also has to do with pillows. Can I go, Becca?
Yes, please.
Weird.
Do. I'm dying to know this.
So, I had been sleeping poorly and then I got sleeping really well. And then I've regressed to sleeping like an 11-month-old again, where I'm waking up like every hour, but I don't remember waking up and I'm in the weird zone. So, I woke up a weird zone of like you're asleep and you know you're awake and you're peeing and you're not sure. Like anyway, so I woke up the other night, middle of the night. I was wearing this black like kind of romper sleeping thing. It's hot, it's the summer, And I go to pull it, I pull it down to pee in the middle of the night, and there's like brown shit all over the romper. And I'm like, what? And I'm like looking at it. I'm like, did I poop my pants in the middle of the night? And I was like, I don't know. So I pull it up close to my face. I smell it. It's chocolate. So I go,
oh, no.
I go, I'm like, that's so weird. I must have gotten some chocolate when I was eating my daily ice cream Klondike sandwich, watching TV at night before I go to sleep, which is my quarantine hack. I must have like dropped some chocolate in it.
How's that a hack?
That's like what I do
for happiness.
No, because a Klondike a day keeps the sads away.
That is true.
It is anyway, true.
So you got.
So I get naked. Gosh. I take the chocolate romper off, and I go back to bed. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I'm having this fitful sleep. I'm wet. I'm sweating. I'm like, you know, I'm just not sleeping well. I wake up in the morning. In the middle of the night, I have decided to snuggle and eat a large Dairy Milk chocolate bar by myself in bed. It is completely slathered the side of my bed. There is a chocolate-shaped Kelty, like self-tanner, on the sheets. I wake up in a chocolate dream. It looked like poo, and I had to like clean it up. And then Chris is like, why are you changing the sheets? It's a Tuesday. And I was like, oh, I had an accident. And I was like, it was chocolate.
Were you on Ambien?
No, I was literally just having a little chocolate.
She was in the weird zone.
I guess I was in the weird zone.
That is so funny. Like sleepwalking.
I was sleepwalking a chocolate bar, which you know is just bad.
That is amazing.
Oh my God.
It is really gross.
That's like one of my faves.
So dumb. Anyway, good week. I went on a ginormous 6-hour hike in Malibu. This is a few weeks ago, but I had it on my list and I want to say it. I went on a hike, and I went with my two like best guy friends, Dwayne and Joe, and we play cards together and we're like real nerds, and I just love them so much. We're like a little foursome. I'm like, it's like three boys and a babe, you know? And they're so cute and so supportive of me. But they only see me in my sweatpants with a mask in my hair. Like this is the friend that I was dressed up for like a work once at the Hilton Hotel, the Beverly Hilton. And Dwayne, my friend, was walking towards me for some reason. Like he was walking past me and I was like, Dwayne. And he didn't recognize me. Like he was like, who are you? And I was like, yeah, because I'm usually so ugly when I see them, because they're like my card playing, like sweatpants shit friends, you know? So anyway, we go on this hike. So they have no idea. Like they never, like I'm always like playing the same joke I play with you where I'm like, I'm so famous. You guys better watch me on TV tonight. And they're like, yeah, yeah. Okay. Gross girl. So we're hiking up. We go for the four of us. We went for a hike in Malibu, and we're on the trail 3 minutes. I swear to God, 3 minutes. And I'm walking Callie, and this girl walks by and she goes, oh! And then she goes, hi. Oh, why are you here? I love you. I love the Lady Gang. Like at the top of the thing. And she was like, I'm sorry. I recognized Callie first. Anyway, Jasmine, what's up, girl? You made me look so cool. I'm sorry we didn't stop for a picture. I felt like it was because we were social distancing and those people are in my pod and you're not. That was very cool. You made me look good in front of my friends that think I'm a loser. Thank you. Good night.
Oh, wow. All right. Wow. How do I follow that up? Easily.
I could have just been like, I got recognized on a trail, but I like to tell the whole story.
Very long winded, I have to say.
Yes.
Sorry.
My good week is that, you know, Orly has a few options of where she goes to the bathroom at this house. And one of them is like the backyard. There's actually like a pretty big space of like grass. She gets to run around, but when it's dark out, I don't like her going down there because the coyotes and whatever.
Yeah, sure.
So I've been like doing this thing on the balcony with like the grass patch, like the little whatever. Mm-hmm. And I got so excited because we've been doing the artificial grass and it grosses me out because you like have to like rinse it off. It like the urine lands in a tray. It's all disgusting. Ugh. Mm-hmm. So I bought the like real grass that they shipped to you. It had been on Shark Tank.
I had this exact thing for Hobo.
Yeah. And it's great. Like it's real grass, and then they'll send you new ones when that one dies or whatever. So I was so excited because she was also getting weird about going on the other one. So this one, she was like going on because it's real grass. She knows exactly what to do. Mm-hmm. So that's the good week. It's so nice to just pop her out on the balcony before we go to bed.
Pop, pop, poop, poop, pee, pee.
Exactly. Bad week is one day I opened the door to let her out, and she's being so weird. Normally she just knows what to do. She goes to the pad, she sniffs around, she does her thing. She's being so weird and she runs back inside. I'm like, what the f-? Go outside. I'm like, go to the bathroom. I know you have to go. So I like walk her out there. I lead her out there. I turn the lights on and there's poop that's already on the grass, but it's not dog poop.
What?
It's like raccoon.
It's raccoon scat.
Oh my God. Why was I going straight to a human?
Like, I was like, who's gonna be? Don't think I didn't think about it because I was like, what animal can get up here? This is so weird. There's like a little tiny space that it could have come from the side of the house up to the balcony. Mm. And it fucking did. That little bitch found a grass patch. Like, is it are raccoons like dogs where they want to like
mark their territory?
Yeah. Like I did not know, but I also had to like Google what raccoon shit looks like, which is disgusting.
Maybe it's just like more comfortable for them because it's like a nice soft underfoot.
I think the raccoon really wants to be a pet.
Maybe
it's like,
maybe.
Somebody take me in.
But now Orly won't go on that thing. The smell is still there from the raccoon.
Oh shit. Mm, literally. Yeah,
literally. And I made Zach pick it up because I was like, there's no way that I'm
there's definitely something in there. Yeah.
So yeah. Anyways, who do we have coming up?
We have the OG girl boss.
You're listening to the Lady Gang.
Our guest today has been building businesses for 14 years. She built Nasty Gal into a $100 million biz. She built and then sold Girl Boss in 2019. She had a next Netflix show about her life, and she's a dope podcast with over 20 million downloads. And now she's helping all of us with her business class, an online entrepreneurship course to help create your own successful business. She also has a super rad newsletter. Who's doing your fonts? They're beautiful. You can sign up to get weekly inspo right into your inbox. Please welcome back to the Lady Gang, the OG girl boss, Sophia Amoroso.
Woo! Hey, welcome.
Hey, thanks for
welcome
having
back. Back. How? Yeah, I mean, it's been years.
Years. Yeah.
So much changes.
So many changes. But I think what's really, I was thinking about you in the shower last night. Why would I shower fresh?
Sexy.
It was sexual. I mean, have you seen the fonts? You know, a good fonts. No, I was thinking about you because I think it was in January, February of this year. You were still at Girl Boss doing the rallies, and the company had reached out to us, and they were like, hey, do you want to be a part of one of these live shows or something? And I remember being like, oh my God, Sophia thinks we're cool. We're cool. She wants us to come to the rally. Like, we're official. We made it. And then, of course, COVID hit, and like, that doesn't happen anymore. And then since COVID hit, you've changed, pivoted your life as well to this class. And so I was like, fucking COVID, man. We were this close to being cool.
No, you guys are very cool. And we've been buds for a while. You guys came to like the Nasty Gal store opening, or I don't know, it was like a celebration.
No, we came to celebrate you on the Forbes cover.
So weird. That year, you know, that was probably in June of 2016. And then the husband you guys met there, I remember you guys were chatting with him.
Yeah.
He left the next month, and then in July, and then in November of that month, Nasty Gal happened. This was a long time ago. So let's start closer in, but that was 2016 was a brutal year. I'm just saying, I've known you guys for a while. We sold your stuff, Jack.
I know. Back in the day.
Yeah. I've decided to now take everything that I've learned over those 14 years. You know, I'm an accidental entrepreneur. I'm not like an MBA business person. I learned the hard way by doing stuff and doing some of it great and blowing it at the rest. And I've seen the landmines and I've stepped in them and I know where they are, so I can, you know, hopefully step over as many as I can now. And I just want to share that with people. I'm at a phase in my career where the whole Sophia Show victory lap thing, the glamour of entrepreneurship for me is kind of like, I just want to make dinner at home. And I did that before COVID, you know, like I'm not trying to, you know, get on a red carpet or have Getty Images shoot me or be on lists or whatever. Like I did that. And so sharing everything that I've learned is just, it's so rewarding. And I've been doing it with a focus group who I'm sharing the course content, my upcoming course called Business Class. And just getting their feedback has been like so awesome. And it feels really good. And so when I say Business Class, that sounds like the most boring name for a class ever for an online course. but it's also the best because it's all airline themed.
No, it's I saw that.
Oh my God. It's like,
I'm talking about the fonts. Orgasm.
Oh, yeah. I worked with an incredible branding agency called Outset on this, and they've just done an amazing job. I think it's like, I feel like it's like the best brand I've ever done. I don't even know if anybody cares about it yet. It's very early days, but the copywriting, the puns and wheels up and your passport to whatever, get your ticket, doors are closing. Like all of that is just like, I love copywriting.
And then there's a scholarship.
There's a scholarship program. So we're giving away $200,000 of scholarships.
Wow. Good for you.
Underrepresented groups who will have access to the course and the community that we've launched called The Lounge, which is
cute.
An app
where we
connect and our flight crew is supporting people along the way. Oh my God, it's so fun. And then we also have a scholarship with Outset, the creative agency who did Marie Kondo's brand. They did Daily Harvest. They've worked on some incredible startup brands. And there will be an application process, but one student or passenger will get a full on like brand build out from these guys. When you buy the course, get this. Oh my God. No matter where you are in the world, I just can't believe we can do this internationally because the course is open internationally. There's a binder called a flight manual that's baby blue that comes in a burgundy satin bag and a box. Well, whatever, a box. And it has tabs inside that match up to the 200 pages of worksheets that I'm creating. That I've created for the course, and you can print them out and put them in there. And it's just like a delightful kind of gift with purchase that you can have on your desk and have like a little physical representation of what it is that you've committed yourself to and a Bible of all your worksheets once they're done. And
you know, I love a worksheet.
Oh, Kelty is orgasming right now.
Love a printable worksheet.
Sophia. I really try to, you know, I'm a recycler. I have two electric vehicles, but I like printing things.
Sometimes you need to write it out. I'm really big on that.
I like paper.
Yep. Yeah. Love it.
I like paper. It makes me feel important.
Yeah. Right. Like I was just saying the other day, there's nothing better than that feeling of like when you cross something off a list with a pen.
I'm official.
So based on this course and you being back with us today, I think, you know, since it's been a few years since we last had you on, Lady Gang has also been through many, many pivots. And we've put some stuff out in the world that has been
crushed and burned.
Well, we thought it was going to be great. It wasn't. It didn't turn out the way we hoped. And I think learning to pivot in business, like we didn't go to business school. We are also sort of just jumping in head first. And when it doesn't work, it's like heartbreaking. But at the same time, you learn so much in those moments. Like there's can be 24 hours in a day where you're like, wow, I learned 5 years worth of lessons in this like one post or whatever it is. And so I thought it would be really interesting for us to kind of talk about the pivot and the resiliency, because so many times, you know, we say it all the time. People are always like, what's the best quote you've ever heard? And we always say, well, when you had Sophia on, she gave us this quote, like, don't compare your
hustle to their highlight reel.
Yeah.
I use this all the time.
All the time. Like we use it all the time.
When you're on top of the world, it kind of makes you lazy. Like you lose, you know, it's good to fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you learn, right? When I was winning and champagne clinks for revenue milestones and press and whatever else we were doing at the time, awards, it was awesome. It was a great ride, but you know, you don't see the crash and burn coming because you're so, you know, those high highs, you can be so out of touch. And so they ground you in a way that I've been really grateful for. And it sounds like you are too.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you have been a big role model for us in the sense that you didn't try to hide any of the missteps and you've been very vocal about the landmines you've stepped in and the lessons that you've learned and the quote on paper failures. But I think that for us, I don't know if we would have had the courage to come out and say, hey, we messed this thing up, but you know what? We got a lot of things right. We were just so worried about covering up the thing we didn't do perfectly. And I think that you've set a tone in female entrepreneurs in this entire generation that shares and like it makes it more of a human experience. And I think in turn, it makes women feel like, and just people in general, that you can do it. It's not this like perfect ride and this sparkly thing.
Totally. And just for the record, I have no idea what you're talking about. So you think everybody knows and heard about whatever you did or didn't work. I have no idea. And it's, I'm paying attention, but I'm, you know, it's like people are so obsessed with themselves and their own problems. So just like, remember that whatever you're beating yourself up over, most people have like moved on.
Right.
It took me a really long time to realize that. I was lashing myself for so long after Nasty Gal fell apart and would talk about it like, oh, I don't know if anybody's gonna, you know, I'm damaged goods, you know. And people started telling me like, dude, move on. Like your audience has moved on. Mm-hmm. Like stop dwelling on that. And that was really great and kind of healing. And the best way you can heal things that you've done wrong is by getting up again and doing them right. You know, there was so much I messed up at Nasty Gal that I did right at Girl Boss. And then I was able to prove to myself like, oh man, like it was really like, you know, in some ways an exercise in making sure that I wasn't like an awful leader or, you know, all the things that ended up on Glassdoor when I was a much younger entrepreneur. So that was just really like really Girl Boss was an extremely validating experience. And I think I regained a lot of confidence through having started another business.
You know, for us, we were lucky because when we've hit failures, I mean, a couple of things, like maybe, I wouldn't say our TV show was a failure, but it was definitely a learning experience where it didn't feel right in our guts. And then we kept pushing and pushing and our audience was like, hey, this doesn't seem like something that you're really into. And we had obviously network people and people around us. But mostly it's the three of us and like one employee, right? So I was just wanted to ask you about like being the center sort of neuron of a universe and people being like, Sophia, it's Sophia's fault. It's Sophia's fault. Like how you deal with that? Because we sort of, we're lucky because they're like, it's Kelty's fault. And I'm like, oh, it's Jack.
Pass the buck.
You know, you guys are giving me praise for being like so public about failure, but it's like, I didn't have a choice. So, you know, you can hide or you can show up and say, hey, like I messed up. People are always going to point at you as a leader. So even if there are other circumstances behind the scenes with a network or anything else, or in my case, you know, executives who I trusted and didn't know how to hold them accountable to, you know, run the business right. And this is not an excuse, but that was a huge part of, you know, the what happened over 10 years at my first business. And no matter what, people are going to point at you. And the whole corporate, you know, the whole corporate, we recognize that we could have done better and we are committed to thing. People just see right through now. And it's felt at times like I was a lamb led to slaughter. Just like, I didn't choose this. Like who, what, you know, but you put yourself on the cover of a book or you put yourself on television and you're kind of signing up for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So people are always going to point at you and you do have to take responsibility, even if you have no idea how something came about or went down or, you know, when you have hundreds of employees, especially, it's like, you definitely don't see everything that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting too, because, you know, when things are going well, everybody wants to take responsibility of the work that kind of led you to when things are going great. But when things up, then everybody else is pointing their finger probably to the same person. So it's, That's kind of true. Like get the short end of the stick in that sense too.
That's true. And I think there are varying degrees of this. So I don't want this to sound like I'm making excuses for anybody or anything, or any kind of anything that's come to light, especially in this era. And I certainly built a crappy culture at Nasty Gal and am largely responsible for that because I never set up in the beginning what I wanted culture to look like. Like ultimately, when you do something, and I'm an accidental entrepreneur, you guys are too, but when you do something unintentionally, or at least don't set intention for, you know, how you're going to hire a team, how you're going to work together, mm-hmm. what things are acceptable and unacceptable, how projects run, whether, you know, how people communicate, how people are led and managed, when that starts to scale, it's a mess. Like, that doesn't scale. So you have to do it at the very beginning, which feels really corporate and weird.
But it's funny because Jacqueline Johnson, when she, from Create and Cultivate, when she was on, she said the same thing. She was like, when I first started, I just want to be best friends with all my employees and like hang out and go to drinks and stuff. And then I had to set these boundaries. And like, it's really true what you're saying.
It makes them feel weird when you share stuff about your life. Like, oh man, like I hit this milestone. Or personally, like, oh my God, like I got a new car because I'm a founder and I need some money. Like, employees are like, everything that comes out of your mouth as a leader is a reflection. The first thing people think is, how does this affect me? And you think that they're just like listening and whatever, and they're like, she's distracted. Is my job in jeopardy? Mm-hmm. Or she said something about another boss in the company. Is that all going down? You know, it's like anything you say is amplified times 10 by anybody who works for you. And the first thing they think about is their job.
Yeah. All right. On that note, we're going to go for it. When we come back, Sophia is going to fix your life.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
All right. And we're back. So I don't know if you remember from the last time that you're on. So this part's called Ask the Lady Gang. We have our girls writing questions about everything, but we got some like career focused questions that hopefully we can fix some lives.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. First question comes from Anonymous. She says, my husband of 10 years and I met at work 13 years ago when he was my boss. We had an instant attraction, and as our careers have progressed, we have both stayed with the same company. However, through the years, I went from his employee to peer to recently being promoted over him for a key leadership role in the corporate office. He won't admit it, but his ego is completely crushed. If we only talk about non-work stuff, we're fine, but it's like walking on eggshells if anything about work comes up. Anytime I try to address the elephant in the room, we get into a massive fight. This can't go on forever. Do you have any advice?
Oh my God. That is such a difficult question because I think there's so many of us, you know, and I don't know what your relationships look like and so many listeners, right? I mean, I was never given the directive to go find some like loaded guy and just chill. And that's not really what matters to me in a relationship. So I've always made, I mean, it's probably going to be the case no matter who I date, but like, you know, I bring in more than my partners, and that can be challenging. It can be awkward at times. I think for something like that, I mean, holy shit, I'm glad this isn't a live pod thing. I mean, what do you do? Like, I've never experienced anything like that.
It's so hard because I think making more money and being a successful career woman,
if your career's like detached,
is one thing, but being at the same office and being above is very challenging.
But also starting out being below and then having those roles switched, I think that's such a tough situation. That's completely different, than to just like being in completely different careers and you have
It's enough
more.
To make more money than your dude partner, because guys need to be really proud, you know?
Yeah.
They have big egos and that's just how it is. You know, I want to be like, you know, the whole playing field's like totally level. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, that's the psychology. That's like,
our brains aren't
how it works. And if I denied that, I'd be single, which is fine. But, you know, in that kind of a dynamic, it's enough to make more than your partner. And then she's managing them.
Mm-hmm. She's like his boss.
I just think you choose your relationship or your workplace. It's not that you're choosing your career. One of them has to make a career. One of them has to go somewhere else. It's just like, if that's not working, the obvious choice would be to change the, you know, variable, to change the situation. So there's one less thing.
Or maybe like encourage him to go. he got passed over. Like maybe encourage him to go find an upper job at another company. Like
it would be a really great reference.
I'll write you a really nice letter of recommendation.
Yeah. Damn, Sophia with the truth.
It's also like women have an incredible ability to be more empathetic. I think this is generalizing, but I would also say that like this isn't even like a male versus female thing, but how would she feel if she was at a company, her husband or her boyfriend came and, you know, bypassed her, she would be bummed out. So I also don't think you need to like judge your significant other for feeling crappy about it. Cause I think anybody would feel that way. I don't think he's like, you know, rejecting it cause you're a woman. I think it's just really tough pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. So like have empathy and don't judge him for feeling crummy about the situation. But also I agree. I think that you have to go to different places or this is weird.
Money is just such a huge thing in relationships. Mm-hmm. You're managing it together. You're building a life together. One person can afford more. I can afford vacations that none of my friends can, you know, it's very different. So learning how to communicate about that seems like the key. Mm-hmm. And that's something that is challenging, right? I went to couples therapy for a little bit, not about this at all with that ex-husband. But haven't done that since. And there are definitely things we could learn to communicate about better. And that's one of them. You know, it's like contribution can mean a lot of things in a relationship.
Right.
Money's one way to contribute. You know, my house is falling apart. Like, you know, they're just there. And I have a very handy guy. He's awesome.
It's the best.
And he's like a fucking crop of the most beautiful heirloom tomatoes I've ever seen. I mean, he's just like out there growing strawberries and like basil. And it's just like this bounty of like beautiful things that come into the house. And I think there are ways to consider contribution in a relationship as long as it feels like things are even. Right. But in this scenario specifically, it sounds like it's you can go to therapy or you can choose to. I mean, I don't know why you have to work at the same company. It sounds like you've both been there for a long time. Also, your resume looks weird if you work someplace for like 10 years. Like people don't do that anymore. Mm. So.
So maybe she jumps.
Don't tell our Lady Gang employee that.
She's listening right now. Just kidding.
You can't cut it out. She's on the line.
We literally just never want her to leave us ever, but no.
Okay. Okay, we're going to go to
As long as people are happy, you know?
Yeah. That matters. Okay, so next question. She says, "Hi, ladies. I'm a young entrepreneur in the arts and entertainment industry, and I'm looking to work under high-profile/successful figures to gain experience and a good reputation. I'm very dedicated, passionate, and extremely hardworking, but how should I reach out to the higher-ups to get a foot in the door when I'm new to the industry and don't yet have industry references on my resume? I still want to stand out."
Wait, so what industry? What was the beginning part?
Entertainment and arts. So I guess like have any people reached out to you that are just like totally green in the field that have like made themselves stand out in different ways?
Yeah. Junior roles. Definitely. There are people who email and are really thoughtful and there's no typos and they articulate in some way why they're qualified or capable and why they'd be, you know, why they're super enthusiastic. And a lot of the time enthusiasm and a love of the product or the company goes so much further than experience, especially in those earlier roles. You know, reaching out to really senior people directly can be challenging, but you know, I think Elaine Welteroth has an example of that where she wrote the editor in chief of, I think it was Ebony magazine, and just, you know, went to New York, met her. This, I don't know what the exact story is, but, you know, she hustled, wrote a letter. Like, people do notice this stuff. And I've definitely hired people who have written me out of the blue being like, you know, hey, I saw your social media intern role. I worked for Maria Menounos for a while. I've mostly done broadcast stuff. I'm just out of college, but I'd love to help you. And there are definitely, you know, people out there who, and this is Megan, who's my intern, who have more experience with social media. I mean, she has her own social media and it's great. But I hired her over anybody else because she was so articulate and so thoughtful and persistent. And, you know, and really, she just really convinced me. For someone who's new to an industry, I think you have to get some experience before you start reaching for the top. You know, you have to, if you're going to switch industries or be new to an industry, you have to put the time in. You got to have something on your resume before you, you know, for the most part, before you go reaching out to CEOs or super senior people. You got to, you know, and often when we change industries, people expect to go from PR to the music industry or something, managing people or something, for example, or an executive assistant to like the music industry and do something specialized. A lot of executive assistants want to go do something. They hit 30 and they're like, I don't want to be a generalist. I need a career. And they all leave. But if you're going to make a career pivot into a new industry, you have to accept that you might have to take a pay cut because you were really good at the thing you were doing.
Right.
But you're no one's going to pay for your like crash course.
Right.
So if you're going to do that, expect a pay cut, because if you go out there demanding the same salary that you had before, you might be in for a rude awakening.
The Lady Gang.
I get a lot, probably like 50 a week texts or emails or whatever that just say, hey, I'm really interested in doing what you're doing. Can I take you out for a cup of coffee and pick your brain? No, I don't have time for a cup of coffee. You can't pick my brain. But if you're like Alex, who's here now, and you write an email and you have a lot of experience and you also can ask for exactly what you want. Hey, I love what you're doing. I'm very interested in working for you. Here's what I have to offer you.
Yeah, here's
what I meet you and tell you all about me. Like that is the kind of email I'll respond to.
Well, it's like you have to be your own hype man in that situation. And like, yeah, and tell the person what you can provide for them rather than being like, what can I get
from
you?
Can I pick your brain?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's actually, there's a whole script in the course.
Yes.
For reaching out to people.
Oh, great.
For press and pitching yourself to a podcast.
Good.
For how to write that, to pitch yourself to a partner. If you want to do like a collaboration or partnership, there's a script in there for that. And then there's a script as well for reaching out to mentors in a way that is appropriate. And it is that sandwich of, hi, I'm so-and-so, keep it brief, flatter them, love what you do, specific, love that you launched this thing, like do some research and toss in, like, I loved your, when I write a marketer at whatever, Coca-Cola or something, love that campaign that you did. Bad example.
one campaign.
You know, this is what I've done. This is what I think you can do. Like, oh wow, I even have ideas for you. Or, you know, I would love to do something for you. I think generosity goes a long way, and flattery really does go a long way. Honestly,
absolutely. I love that. Okay. Last question comes from Liz in the biz. She says, I'm currently living with my mom in Chicago and I just graduated college with a degree in design and business. I have an opportunity to work for a major fashion company in downtown LA, but the problem is it pays so low. I'm nervous I won't be able to make ends meet starting out in such an expensive city. Honestly, can you survive on less than $30,000 in LA with no car? I want to believe I can take on a side hustle, but I don't want to struggle forever. What would you do?
I think you can. You can get a really cheap room. You can move downtown, you know, get on Craigslist, move downtown,
walk to work,
or, you know, ride a bike or a scooter or whatever, you know, use hand sanitizer.
Becca, when you first moved to New York, do you remember how much money you made your first year?
Well, I was in college, so
that's different.
But I did work at like a boutique. What I will say is that if you want something badly enough, I mean, within reason, I think that you can make it happen. I mean, there were years in New York where I made like $200 a week doing regional theater, and I lived in a one bedroom apartment with three girls, and it sucked balls, but I wanted it so badly. And I think that if you want something really badly, and it's not to say that if you don't want it that badly, that it's like to frown upon. It's just, if you're crazy enough to want it, you'll figure out a way. And so,
yeah, well, this reminds me literally of every one of my friends when I was just out of college as well. We had eight people living in like a 5-bedroom house and everybody was making like no money. So I think that this is actually pretty common for that age, and especially in somewhere like LA, because you can take on those side hustles and you can work these weird jobs, and it's not the same thing as maybe somewhere in a different city. So I think if you have the opportunity and you really want to do it, then why not try? You can always move back home.
Yeah, and it's too bad that clubs are closed, because honestly, I was an amazing go-go dancer in New York City, and it was like $200 a night, honey, and a booty show.
Oh, yeah, but oh, I did that. I did that in San Francisco with a giant fake ponytail, like whipping around.
Yeah.
I got practice stripping in Portland too. And I've talked about that a little bit, but that was fun.
That's amazing.
Exactly.
This is always something else to do.
We have ever did that from stripper to online educator teaching a business course.
And listen,
anything
and what
possible.
A business course it is. So if you guys want to check out the course, it's on sale. Registration begins September 22nd. It ends on October 9th. You can head on over to Sophia. She has the link in her Instagram, which is just Sophia Moroso. I know you're already all following her. We're really excited about it. We got a chance to like check out some early versions of different pieces, and it looks incredible. And the community you're building around it is going to help so many people. So continuing her reign of empowering women to go after their shit unapologetically.
Love it.
We love that. So business class, you can check it out. And sign up for her newsletter too, because it comes every week and is very inspirational and beautiful and kind of keeps you motivated. And what I've done is during COVID, I unsubscribed to all my shopping emails and subscribed to all my like community emails, where it's like, I'm just getting inspiration from the universe.
God, you're just such a good person, Kelty.
You know what? I really am not.
She's not.
I'm trying to be.
I think we're all trying to be, but yeah, it's, you can take the course at takebusinessclass.com.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It starts at like $99 a month. So it's pretty easy to get in there and learn stuff.
See it in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Wheels up.
Wheels up, bitches.
All right.
We will
see you next Tuesday.
Lady Gang is produced by Alex Ingberg, Will Sterling, and Steve Delamater. Make sure that you rate and review this podcast where you listen to it. Please, it makes a huge difference. And also subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you really love the episode, we want to hear from you on our social media channels at Becca, at Kelty, at Jack Vanek, at The Lady Gang. But more importantly, we want to see you sharing The Lady Gang with your friends. So be like, oh my God, I just listened to this episode. It was great. Okay, here you go. Here's the link. Ah, love it, love it, love it. Okay, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you.